Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. And we also know through the Word that God has given us and through His Son, He gave us three commands: love God, love others, and go. And in those three commands, all of the Scripture and the prophets is summed up. That as we love God, love others, and go, we will be changed, and so too shall our world be changed unto the righteousness of Jesus Christ. For we go not with our own words, but with the Word of God. Can I get an amen, church? As we continue in that, we are in the season of Easter. That's why our pyramids are still white. And I want us to deal with the resurrection. How many of you enjoy the resurrection? Every hand ought to be in the air. Because without the resurrection, we are still in our sin and we are dead to God. But because of the resurrection, we know the grave is empty. We know the cross is empty. We know our sin coffers are empty as we have confessed those things unto God, and we truly have a resurrection power in our lives. And today I want to talk about living in hope. Now, our hope is different than the hope of the world. The hope of the world is something wished for but possibly never realized. How many of you hope that tomorrow is a sunny day? It's been raining for 3 days. Yes, how many of us want a little bit of sunshine? You betcha. Well, guess what? That's like taking a wish in one hand and good thinking in the other, and you put it together, and what do you got? Two empty hands, okay? But we know that the hope we have in Jesus Christ is sure. We know it is real. We know it because it produces things in our lives. We can see it. We can experience it. We can literally know that hope, for His name is Jesus Christ. And in that hope, we live. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. So taking your scriptures, I want you to turn to the book of Psalms. To the book of Psalms. We are going to be in the 31st chapter. Psalms 31, because again, as we think of the resurrection and what it brings, the people of the Old Testament were waiting for that day. The people of the Old Testament were waiting for the day of the Messiah to come. Now, did they know that the Messiah was going to die? Yes, they did. If they would read their scriptures, they would see that. They would know that He would come as a suffering servant first, that He would die, that He would give His life for our sins, and that He would be resurrected on the third day. That's all in the Old Testament. And every one of the old saints who believed that are those who were saved out of the Old Testament. We need to understand, we get to see it, we get to live on the other side of the cross. It's a little bit easier for us, isn't it? But yet we still have this desire to know, is this real? Is it true? And God wants us to see it in reality, not only from the New Testament, but from the Old Testament. Because we need to remember, Jesus Christ the same, what? Yesterday, today, and forever. So is God's redemption story, is the hope of God through the resurrection in the Old Testament? From the 31st chapter of the book of Psalms, beginning in the 19th verse, we read these words, "For thus saith the Lord, how great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you have wrought for those who take refuge in you before the sons of men. You hide them in the secret place of your presence, from the conspiracies of man. You keep them secretly in a shelter from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for He has made marvelous His loving kindness to me in a besieged city. As for me, I said in my alarm, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried to you. Oh, love the Lord, all you his godly ones. The Lord preserves his faithful and fully recompenses the proud doer. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. We need to understand that as God poured out this word to the psalmist, they had not seen the resurrection yet. They did not know what was coming, but they knew that God was doing something in their midst, and they knew that they needed to hope in him, but that their hope was not something that was far off. It was not something that was might be. It was real. How do we know that? What does this scripture tell us about that hope? It tells us several things. In verse 19, it says, how great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you have wrought for those who take refuge in you before the sons of men. We need to understand, what's he talking about here? When we think about the hope that we have, God brings us provision. How many of you, there are days in your life when you think, I have no idea how this is going to work out, and all of a sudden this thing works out? You know, I think it's kind of amazing when I look back on my life, and when my wife and I were, you know, we sold the farm, you know, this is years ago. I'm using this because it was a big thing, and it'll make sense to you. We sold our farm. We were living, a family of three. We were living on $14,000 a year because that's all my wife made at that time, working at Falscraft, okay? And we're talking in the 90s, $14,000 a year. We were living below the poverty level, but yet we never went hungry, did we? We never missed a bill payment, and we tithed, didn't we, sweetie? And paid for college cash. Now, yes, I sold my farm, or we sold our farm, I need to say it that way, because it's not me. You know, when God calls a person into ministry, if you're married, guess what? They come along. You don't go alone. So we went through some stuff, but in that, God provided for us every day. There were times when we would think to ourselves, I don't know how we're going to do this. I don't know how we're going to do this. And the next thing you know, somebody would give a donation to the church, and it would have my name on it. Give this to Pastor Rich. And God was making a way where there seemed to be no way. We need to understand, he wants us to prosper, and he wants others to see it. Do you understand that principle? Do you read that? It says right there in verse 19, before the sons of man. That means that as you are receiving the provision of your hope, that thing which you are holding on to, others are going to see it and say, oh my God. And you're going to look at them and say, yes, he is your God and mine. And what a day that will be. I can look at each and every one of you out here and point a finger at you, and you actually have a testimony here. Now, would you speak it? Probably not, because you'd get all fuddled with your lips and your tongue, and your heart would start palpitating, and you know, because whenever I call on somebody, that seems to happen. But guess what? In your life, while you are going through it, you don't skip a beat. And everybody around you that knows you sees exactly what is going on. God is providing in your lives. And I know for some of you, that provision not only is a monetary thing, but how many of you have received a physical provision in your lives where there was something going on and God intervened and you're still here and everybody saw it and everybody wondered, how did they get through that? Well, it's because of our hope and the power therein. We know who has our back. And that, brothers and sisters, should give us hope and comfort. We also know from verse 20 that God is our protection. Not only does he provide, but he protects. He says, you hide them in the secret place of your presence from the conspiracies of man. You let them secretly, you keep them secretly in a shelter from the strife of tongues. How many times have things come against you in this life and it seems like you come out unscathed? There have been many times in my life where words have been spoken against me or actions were taken against me by others, and it seemed to fall on the ground and die before it ever got to take off. And I want you to think about that, because God is our protection. And there are going to be times when things are going to come at you. And this also applies to your physical being as well. You know, when I think about myself, you all know this past October, I had a claudication in my artery, in my leg. It's still there. I'm still dealing with it. But guess what? I still got a foot. And we are praising the Lord, because when I was in the hospital, they literally thought I was going to lose it. I mean, that foot was dead for all practical purposes. Just had my last scans here a couple weeks ago. What was it, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, something like that. And when I was in the hospital, there was no pulse in that foot, absolutely no blood flow. It's at 60% now. Amen. There you go. You got my point. Praise the Lord. He will do things that we have no idea. He is our protection in times of trouble. When people come against us, don't fear the people. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Call upon Him. How do I know that's a provision? What does it say in verse 22? As for me, I said in my alarm, I am cut off from before you. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried to you. God is the power of hope. He preserves us. God hears our cry. He knows our needs. And all we need to do is hope in Him, and He will bring us through to the other side. Now, does that mean it's going to have the outcome you necessarily want? Absolutely not. He's in charge, and if you love Him, He's going to get you through it the way you want to come through it, the way He wants you to come through it. Remember when Jacob wrestled with God as he was coming back to meet Esau, okay? What happened to him? As he wrestled with God, God reached down and touched his thigh. He limped the rest of his life. Why? To keep a reminder in him that he needs God every day of his life. That's hope, dear brothers and sisters. And you and I need to understand God is working in and through and with you to bring you to the other side. Now, I hate to tell you this. As you get older, you young people out there that have beautiful color in your hair, it's going to go away. Either the color or the hair. Something is going away. That's just the way it works. But our hope never goes away. Can I get an amen? This world wants to steal our hope. It wants us to shut down our Christian faith. It wants us to shut up, put it in the closet, stuff it in a can, set it on the shelf. Don't speak of it anymore. Our hope is the power of the resurrection unto the salvation of ourselves and those who will hear us. Can I get an amen? And I'm going to tell you right now, you do not have to stand on a street corner and preach. Just live your life in Christ and people will see and hear from God through you. That's a reality. Because when we live in that hope, other people have to see it. How do we know that? Did we not just read this psalm that it happens right in front of others that they may know? You get to experience it. They get to see it and wonder why. And that's what draws people. Have you ever noticed that people who have troubles seem to come to Christians and ask for help? Have you ever noticed that it seems like everybody that has a problem wants to talk to you? I wonder why. Because we have a hope that we don't need to know the answer. We know who is the answer. Can I get an amen? And as we trust Him in our lives and allow Him to work these things out through us, our lives are changed. You know, I'm not the same man I used to be. I'll guarantee you, 25 years ago, well, at this point in time in my life, 35 years ago, you would not have wanted to know me. Well, you may have wanted to know me, but you wouldn't have wanted to be a close friend because I was all about me. Does anybody know any of those people out there? I was all about me. I was all about putting money in the bank. I was all about all kinds of stuff about me. This poor dear lady sitting up front here, I'm going to say this. She went through hell for the first 11 years of our marriage because I was not a good husband. I hope that's gotten better. She's not answering. She's probably thinking, yeah, I hope so too. But life has a way of changing you when it's life in the Lord, because our hope is not something we wish for. It's something we get to experience. It's alive. It's living with us. It's in us. He is in us. His name is the Holy Spirit. And He pours out His good gifts upon each and every one of us. For hope is by God the power to overthrow all strongholds in our lives. Do you understand that? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans. We're going to be in the 8th chapter. It's why I'm wearing the shirt I'm wearing today. Romans in the 8th chapter. We're going to begin in verse 18. Romans chapter 8, beginning in the 18th verse. All of us go through this life. How many of us struggle? How many times are there days when you think to yourself, how am I going to get through this? Where is this going to end up for me? Well, read these words with me if you would. Thus saith the word of the Lord. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. Not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we know how to pray as we should, for we don't know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that we should be the firstborn among many believers. And these whom He predestined, He also called. And these whom He called, He also justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also interceded for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can I get an amen, church? When we read these words, I just said a whole lot. But what I just said was the hope that we have, we may not see as we are looking out, because I'm going to guarantee you we don't have any idea what tomorrow brings. But we know the one who brings tomorrow. So we hope in him, and that hope is sure because we know that there is nothing that can compare to God. There is nothing in all of creation that can overwhelm God, for he has created all things, and everything answers to him. And in that, God has shown us just who he wants us to be, how he wants us to live, the way he wants us to consider things. Each and every one of us is going to go through a bunch of stuff on this earth. Why? Because of sin in our world. Can I get an amen? Yeah, I know you don't want to amen that, but it's your truth. It's mine too. And as we live this life, looking at the consequences of sin, you know, Pastor David preached a sermon, and it just keeps resonating in my body every time I think about these things. He says, are you willing to accept the consequences of your choices? And whether you are or not, you will. We all need to understand that. As we make choices, you out there on the internet, we here in the congregation, and throughout the world, the choices that we make are going to lead to consequence. Whether it is a consequence unto salvation or a consequence unto death, that's your farthest parts of the spectrum. But everything that happens in this world affects all of us. You've heard me say this before. A butterfly beats his wings off the coast of Africa, and a hurricane stirs off the coast of Florida. Everything is attached. Everything is attached. This world is not an accident. The things that happen in this world are not an accident. And we need to understand there are two powers at play, the power of good and the power of evil. And as we have aligned ourselves with the power of good, I want to ask you all out there right now, even though you're in Christ Jesus, do bad things still happen in your life? How many of you make every choice a good choice? I don't see one person saying me, because we know we're sinners, aren't we? But the one thing we know is if we truly walk in the power and in the presence of our Lord, that none of these things are going to be able to hold us down. Even the choices that you make, you may have to go through some stuff. How many of you have been through some stuff? Because of your own choices. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you right now, why? 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 Because God wants to teach you something. You know, if God wasn't a loving God, if God didn't care about you, he wouldn't discipline you. But we know that we are disciplined, for each and every one of us is a son of God. We are his children. And I want to ask you this, you know, how many of us discipline our children? Yeah, we discipline our children. You know, I grew up in an era where we had a board of correction at my house. And yes, it was a board. It was about 18 inches long, about 3 inches wide, and a quarter inch thick. And until I was like 18 years old, it was curved from being used so well. Today, we look at that and people would say, oh, that's child abuse. I'm sorry, I think I turned out pretty good. It wasn't good while I was going through it, but it got me through it because it taught me right from wrong. And God's going to do the same thing. We discipline our children. We try to reason with them. And I'm going to tell you all right now, you all know me. You all know I've said this many times. God has put a reset button on every child. It's on their derriere. You got one. And we all know it to be true. Yeah, but that's capital punishment. Oh, that's brutality. Excuse me? Children shooting children on the streets is brutality. Children being mutilated and having body parts cut off is brutality. We need to think about where this world has gone, because it tells us, spare the rod, spoil the child. But we also need to understand God does not beat us down to the point where we are destroyed. God disciplines us to raise us up. Can I get an amen? So when we're going through these sufferings, we need to understand, did I cause this? Have I been a portion of this? Or is this simply something that's coming unto me? And in either direction, we are to deal with it as discipline, because if we do, we'll learn from it and we will grow. If we don't, we're doomed to repeat it. How many of you think our society is doomed to repeat some of the stupidity from the years gone by? Because we have not taught our children well. We're not teaching them the things of this society. We're teaching them new things, things that are leading to chaos and confrontation at every turn, because they have no hope. They are looking for something to put their hope in, and they think it's the government and this new way of life that is out there. But God has said from the beginning, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we need to understand that. That is our hope, that as we walk in that truth, we find purpose for life. That is part of the power of the resurrection. Because now I have reason to be. Now I have reason to do. Now I have reason. And in that reason, purpose is born. You see, hope is a very powerful thing. It truly is the power of God to overcome all strongholds in our lives. I want you to think about all the things you struggle with in your life, all the things this world struggles with. What's the answer to all those things? And this is Sunday School 101. Jesus. Jesus truly is the answer to everything this world needs. And all we have to do is turn ourselves to Him, walk with Him, converse with Him. You know, I know a lot of people out there who say to me, well, Pastor, you know, I believe in Jesus Christ. That's wonderful. What do you do with that? Well, I go to church. Well, that's awesome. What's that mean? Satan goes to church every Sunday. And they look at me like, what? Yeah. Folks, I want you to realize something. Satan has conversations with God. Do you ever read the Bible? Is Satan going to heaven? No. How about the demons, you know, his angels, the fallen angels? Are they going to get to heaven? No. They're in chains right now waiting for the judgment. I want you to think about your life. Where are you? How do you know God? Are you walking in this thing you call salvation? Are you working it out? Because if you are working it out, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. My hope in my life is that everything God brings my way is going to lead to good. And it may not seem good today, but it will get good. And that's one of the things we need to remember. And it's not easy to do when you're in the midst of a situation. But guess who's always there to remind you He's never going to leave you nor forsake you? But you have to choose to walk with Him every day. That means repenting of your sin every day. That means walking in something you can't see towards something you are longing for, and you know you already possess it because you see it working out in your own life. And that's called hope. You and I need to realize that living hope is not something that is static. It truly is alive. What do I mean by that? Turn to our last scriptures for today. That's 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your soul. How powerful is living hope? It is the power of the salvation of our souls, because it is a living hope. It is something that we hold on to every day. It is not something we hope for. It's here. He is here. He is available to us every day in every situation. And are we going to claim him? Are we going to acknowledge him? Are we going to walk with him? Which many times is going to mean admitting that you messed up. And none of us have ever done that. I'll guarantee you I mess up more than I get things right. And if you don't think so, ask my wife. She'll tell you. That's what wives are for. You do all understand that, right? She's going to get me when I get home. She does not do those things. She really doesn't. She is a wonderful lady, and I don't deserve her. But I'm glad I have her in my life. And I need all of us to understand that's part of our hope, too. That one that God is bringing to us, if there be one. Some folks don't get that one. Some folks try several times because they think they found the one, but they weren't looking for the Lord. They were looking for their own stuff. That's okay. God will straighten that out too. But when you have that one and you screw up, say I'm sorry and move on. Just don't forget what you did that got you where you are. And remember, it's you both have to work it out, right? Marriage is not a 50-50 proposition. Marriage is 100%, 100%. You cover each other. That is our hope. Because in that, God wraps us together. Again, I'm speaking scripture that all of us know. But when you and I walk in the blessedness of Christ, when we realize that the power of living hope through the resurrection is ours today, each and every day, it's not something we long for. It is something we get to experience. It is alive and well. It has a name. It has a name, and he is the Holy Spirit. That's what God has called him from the beginning, and it's what he will always be called. That's why we need to remember just how important the Trinity truly is. We have Father, we have Son, and we have Holy Spirit. The Father created it all. He's the capstone of everything. Jesus Christ is his Son, our Savior. He brought all life into being. And that through the power of the Holy Spirit. And now we are held by the Holy Spirit. Unto the day we will be with God forever in heaven. You see, God uses every portion of himself. So too must we use every portion of ourselves towards the living hope that each and every one of us carries. You know, today I want you to think about this as you're going out there and you know, I have to laugh because it's been raining for 3 days here. 3 days of rain. What do you think is going to happen as soon as the sun comes out? You're all going to be out there mowing your lawn like crazy, weed whacking like you wouldn't believe, and the flowers and the trees. You know, it's been a nice reprieve from all the pollen out there, right? Yeah, what do you think is going to happen as soon as that sun comes out? Life is going to happen. Life is going to take place. And all that goodness that came down, all that dreariness, no, liquid sunshine. We need to remember, even in our own lives, when these times of pouring out come on us, it is to bring us unto a place of life. That is our hope. God is washing away the dross of our lives. Did we not just read that? He says that we are being purged. And oh, dear brothers and sisters, that is hope alive. Because God does not want you where you are. He wants you where He's going to take you. Each and every one of us who comes to Christ is changed. Can I get an amen, church? God does not keep you where you are. God will walk you walk you to where you need to be. And I'm going to tell you right now, when we get to the end of this road, we still aren't done, because none of us are going to get to the end of this life and be perfect. We have to be in His presence before we're made perfect. And what a day that will be. What a day that will be. For when we are made perfect, we won't even recognize ourselves. Because in that day, we shall be as He is. What a day that will be. That's our living hope, that we will truly be changed. No more sin, no more sorrow, no more hurt, no more hurting. Only joy inexpressible. Did we not just read that? But yet while we're here, how many of us experience joy inexpressible? I do on a daily basis. Because there are days, and I know you've had them, where there is no reason you should have joy in your heart. But yet you bow your head in prayer and you sing a song, and all of a sudden your spirit is just erupting in living hope and joy inexpressible. Because there's no reason for me to be smiling today. But oh, the joy that floods my soul. Brothers and sisters, He's real. Our hope is the power of the resurrection. One of the powers of the resurrection. May we not forget it. The world wants us to forget. The world wants us to shut up. We need to sing a new song every day. How many of you find joy in a song? Sing a new song every day. The song of your living hope. Pray with me. Father God, each and every one of us comes to You with a failing beyond all measure, because we are sinners saved by grace. But Lord God, we know that when we receive You and when we start walking with You, things change. And Lord God, I pray that each and every one of us today and from this day forward will look to how are we going to see You today? Because that is our hope. Our hope is to see You every day, in every moment of our day. Because from it we find the power of life, to live life abundant and full. Because Lord God, as we read here, we know You are working it out in our lives, that our salvation is sure, and that salvation is through Your Son, who is our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.